Turn your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. And when you're in Galatians chapter 5, we're going to read from verse 6. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6. And that says, "For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love." So let's begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, I do thank you for this time that I can open up your word. Lord, may you use your word once again to just affect our hearts, our minds. Help us to serve you with a heart of love, Lord. And may you be glorified and exalted through just your word right now. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So from this verse, we can see that God wants us to serve him with a heart of love. Serve him in love. And by means of illustration, I want to look at Genesis 29, 18 to 20. You don't have to turn there. It says, "And Jacob loved Rachel and said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. And Laban said, It is better that I give her to thee than that I should give her to another man. Abide with me. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had to her." So we see in the passage that Jacob really loved Rachel. Jacob loved Rachel so much that he was willing to work 7 years for her. We see later that he was willing to work even longer. He was willing to work 14 years for her. And I have no doubt, almost no doubt, at least, that he would have worked longer if he had to. We see in verse 20 that serving those 7 years didn't seem long because of the love he had for Rachel. So Jacob worked because he loved Rachel. We should work for God because we love him. But do we? Each day we are ready to see what God has for us to do. Wait, each day are we ready to see what God has for us to do? Or are we just going through the motions? This is what God asked me as I studied this verse. This verse really grabbed my attention. As I read through Galatians, we can really see God's desire for us to work out of love. It doesn't matter how much we do if we don't serve him because we love him. We see this reiterated in 1 Corinthians 13, 1-3. It says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing." And tonight I want to look at three actions God wants us to take if you're in this situation of serving him out of duty to serving him out of devotion. And what I mean by duty is that we're serving him kind of like as a chore, or serving him kind of just like, whatever, sort of that kind of attitude, not really like it's our duty, because in a sense it is our duty. But anyway, please turn to Revelation 2 and verse 5. That's Revelation 2 and verse 5. And it says, "Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent." And the first action I want to look at here, as we look at Revelation 2:5, is to remember what Christ has done for us. To remember what Christ has done for us. Christ has done so much, right? We could spend all night talking about what Christ has done for us. But there's a few that the Lord put on my heart. And the first one being that Christ has redeemed us. If we go to Galatians, back to Galatians, we'll probably spend a lot of time in Galatians. Galatians 3 and 13. So Christ has redeemed us. Galatians 3, 13, it says, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, Cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree." And now if you want to turn to chapter 4 and verse 4, which should be a page over. It says, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." So, to redeem is to buy back. And we, as we are sinners, as Romans 3:23 says, "For all sin comes short of the glory of God," we're sinners. We were slaves to sin. And Christ bought us back. He redeemed us. If you look at Galatians 3:21 and 22, we see that following the law or performing religious duties cannot save us. So, 21:22, it says, "Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily, righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe." So we see that following the law or performing religious duties cannot save us. And this is why we need a Savior and why it's so important to remember that Jesus died for our sins. He paid for us with his blood. If we look at 1 Peter 1:18, you don't have to turn there once again. It says, "For as much as ye know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." So we see he paid for us with his blood, his precious blood even. But not only that, but he took our sins and he took the curse on himself. There's a couple of verses that I'll read here. We already read Galatians 3:13. It says, "Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us." So he took that curse that we had on himself. Isaiah 53:6, it says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." We see that iniquity is our sin. And it was on Jesus. It was laid on Jesus when he died for us on the cross. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For he hath made him," that's Jesus, "to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Once again, the sin was on Jesus. 1 Peter 2:24, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed." So Jesus took the curse. Jesus took our sin, and he was our substitute. So it was almost like we switched places and we became righteous. He took the sin and we became righteous. And it's because he loved us. Another thing Christ has done that we should remember is Christ has restored us. If we look at Galatians 4:5-7. Says, "To redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." So Christ has restored us. He restored our relationship with God. Because we were at enmity with God. We were enemies of God. And Christ, because of his death for us, and when we trust in Jesus Christ, our relationship is restored with God the Father. Not only that, but God has made us his children by adopting us. So we're not just friends, we're family. Okay? He adopts us. We're family. And that means a lot more, but we'll get into that in a moment. Galatians 3:26 says, "For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." Another thing that Christ has restored is that he makes us new creatures. We'll read Galatians 6:15 first, if you want to turn there. 6:15 says, "For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature." And as was already stated, but I'll say it again, 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." We aren't who we used to be, and it's all because of Jesus Christ. Okay, so I could give my testimony, but you guys have heard it many times. But I'm thankful that I'm not who I used to be. There's so many things that I did in the past that I don't do anymore, and it's all because of Jesus Christ. Another thing we need to remember is that Christ has reserved a place for us. John 14, 1-3. Turn there, John 14, 1-3. And that says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." So, he prepared a place for us. I think of the Pastor the Pirate song, "He's building me a mansion." And it's just a great thing. He's preparing a mansion for us. But it's not just that. There's a reservation that's greater than just a mansion. Hebrews 12:28, it says, "Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." So as heirs, so we were adopted, and we're adopted by the Father of everything. We are heirs, and we will be receiving a kingdom. Wherefore, it says, "Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved." That's amazing. But we also, it gets better even. We have a better reservation than a kingdom, a place around God's throne. Revelation 7, 9-10. You want to turn there with me? Revelation 7, 9-10. And it says, "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, and kindreds, and people, and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb." So, I mean, a mansion is nice, having a kingdom is pretty awesome, right? But being around God's throne and just being able to sing to him and to praise him because he's done so much for us is amazing. And remembering this and the other things Christ has done for us will start a change in our hearts. See, it always goes back to remember first. And that's what Revelation 2:5 says first. Remember. Speaking of which, let's go back there real quick. 2:5, it says, "Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent." So the second action is to repent of our attitude. The first part of repentance is realizing our sinful attitude. So what makes this attitude sinful? Let's go to Galatians, go back to Galatians 5:7 real quick. Galatians 5:7. And 8, where it says, "Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you." So, we see that the Galatians, there was an issue there, but if we go back to Revelation 2:4, I think I put that out of order. Revelation 2:4, it says, "Nevertheless," this is talking about the church of Ephesus, and so is Revelation 2:5, but it says, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." So, when we aren't serving out of love, we've left our first love. And some of these attitudes, I was talking about sinful attitudes, or just repenting of our attitudes, some of these attitudes could be serving God without any care of what it is we are actually doing. We're serving God as if it were a chore. We already talked about that. I kind of briefly went over that. But going further, without trying to be offensive, this is just God talking to me, really. So I'm just telling you what God's taught me already. So if this is you, I'm totally there with you, okay? But without trying to be offensive, here are a few examples. Reading your Bible just because you have to. Passing out tracts without any real concern for that person's soul. Falling asleep during prayer. The list goes on and on. Of note, the disciples also fell asleep during prayer. I'm going to point out Holly because I tried to just remind her that they did it too, so don't be mad at me when the Lord speaks to me and tells me that. Anyway, I've been there and I've done those things. That is why I listed them, and I know they're exceptions, but I'm not one of those exceptions. So please take everything I say with a grain of salt. But I make no excuses for myself when God is dealing with me. Anyway, back to the Galatians. The Galatians needed to see that they were serving God the wrong way. It was hindering them from serving with the heart of love. The Judaizers, or the legalists, whatever you want to call them at that time, had affected them. They told them they must be circumcised, but that wasn't true. Galatians 4:17 says, "They zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you, that ye might affect them." So they had gotten zealous over, you know, not just circumcision, but religious feasts and rituals. They lost their first love for Christ. It's kind of like us, though, right? I mean, it's not the same thing, but so often I'm affected by the things of this world, but where is my zeal for Christ? So often I'm excited to talk to others about a hobby or something else, work, maybe. I'm not really excited to talk about work that much, but work. But where is my excitement to tell others about Christ? So once we realize what we are, kind of like what we're doing, we must reject our sinful attitude. Galatians 4:28-31. We'll read that. Chapter 4, verses 28 to 31. It says, "Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free." So we cannot have a sinful attitude and a true heart to serve the Lord. We must cast out and reject a sinful attitude. We must lay aside sin so that we can live our lives for Christ. Hebrews 12:1. "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." So upon rejecting a sinful attitude, we must return to Christ. I want to turn to Luke 15 and read about the prodigal son. Luke 15 as an example. And verses 17 to 21. So Luke 15, 17 to 21. And it says, "And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son." So just like the prodigal son returned to his father, we must return to Christ. We must return to him by coming to him and confessing our sin. We see this in James 4:8-10, which says, "Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up." We see this again in 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. And one more, in Joel 2, 12 to 13. Therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart, and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God. For he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. So we must repent of a sinful attitude in order to renew our walk with Christ. But once we've done that, how can we renew our walk with Christ? We have to reach out to the Father. Galatians 4:6. It says, and because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Pray and ask God to help you. I mean, we're children now. We can pray and we can ask him. And when we ask him, we need to ask him to put that love into our hearts. So that way we can serve him. Turn with me to Psalm 51. Psalm 51, verses 10 to 12. It says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. So we see that we can ask him. We see that's what the psalmist did, David. He asked God to help him, to put that into his heart, to give him a clean heart, and to renew a right spirit within him. And that's what we need to do. Also, ask God to revive us. Psalm 85:6, it says, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? In Habakkuk 3:2, Habakkuk says this, O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. So Habakkuk prays that. They go into captivity, but God still answered Habakkuk's prayer. They come out of captivity. And he can answer our prayer for revival in our own hearts. And as you pray, ask God to help you. Ask him to help you to read his word with an open heart. As we read the Bible, we may ask God to speak to us. He will answer us and show us what he wants us to know as we read. And as we read his word, we will abide in him, and that means he will abide in us. John 15:4, it says, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. John 15:7 says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. When Christ abides in us, God will rekindle our love for him. If you look at John 15:9-11, that's John 15:9-11. It says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. So we see that it says, abide. No, it says, continue ye in my love, and that's the love for Christ, continuing to love Christ. But we also see that in verse 11, God will give us joy in serving. It says that these things have I spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. So God will also renew our strength to serve him. It's not just to serve him with joy, but to serve him to just have a strength to serve him. If you look at Isaiah 40:31, I'll just read that actually. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. The Lord will give us strength to do the first works, as Revelation 2:5 says, that we should do. So, remember the illustration at the beginning about how Jacob worked for Rachel? What if he said he would work for her and never did? What if he worked for those 7 years and complained the whole time about how long it took? What if, after he worked those 7 years, chose not to work the next 7 years for her? Would he have really shown that he loved her? No, it wouldn't have. The same applies to us. What if we fail to remember all that Christ has done for us? What if we refuse to repent of our sins and continue going through the motions? What if we never bother renewing our walk with Christ? Do we show God that when we work for him half-hearted, do we show that? Do we show God love when we work for him half-heartedly? No, we don't. A commentary from Albert Barnes says this in terms of Galatians 5:6 and the phrase, "But faith which worketh by love." It says, "The true faith is that which is seen in benevolence, in love to God, in love to all who bear the Christian name, and a readiness to do good to all mankind. This shows that the heart is affected by the faith that is held. And this is the nature and design of all genuine religion." It should be our desire to show God and the world that our heart has been affected by our faith. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I do thank you for your word. And Lord, may we just serve you with a heart of love. Serve you not just because we have to, but because we love you. And may you just bless this the rest of this night. And I just ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.